My brothers and sisters in Christ, in our gospel from St. John today, the Lord prepares us not only for the inevitable, but beautifully in his wisdom for the world in which we now find ourselves living. You will be expelled, he tells them, from the synagogues. They will put you to death, claiming that they are doing the work of God. And all of this will happen because they are ignorant of the truth. And this is precisely the situation in which we find ourselves. Those of us who are seeking to be faithful Catholic men and women oftentimes find ourselves expelled from the very places of prayer that we seek to inhabit. We have a whole manner of people who are seeking to put us to death and rejecting Catholicism in the name of peace, in the name of God, in the name of love. We have a variety of different activities that cry to heaven for vengeance that people justify simply because they feel that this is what they want to do, how they want to do it, with whomever they want to do it. And all of this in the name of God, in the name of love, in the name of peace, in the name of tranquility. We are seen as the enemy if we teach and preach the truth. We are seen as obstacles to the family of men and if we remain steadfast to those things that have been handed on to us, which we hope and will hand on to those who come after us. The Lord says that he tells us all these things lest we be scandalized. Not that they will not come to pass, because they have in past generations and they are coming to pass even now, but that indeed we might be prepared. We might be tempted then to think that the acts of preparation, since our Lord has gone through such great pains to explain all of this to us, that the acts of preparation have something to do with what we need to do. But that would be our first and most serious mistake, because the Lord has already told us what it is that needs to be done. We need to open ourselves up to the Spirit that he is sending to us. We need to be pliable in the hands of the Spirit, who will give us the words we need, the strength and the courage that we need to endure. If we are called to sacrifice and to suffer, then the Spirit will give us the strength to do that and to do it with joy. When we find ourselves confronted with untruth and lies being told about God and Holy Mother Church, the Spirit will give us the words we need to speak, words of charity, words of comfort, words of love, but always words of truth. We don't necessarily have to prepare ourselves, because in truth we will never be adequately prepared to take on the world. I often find it amazing when people look at the spiritual difficulties they are confronting that they somehow think they can deal with supernatural realities on a natural level. And nothing could be further from the truth. By virtue of our baptisms, we have become supernatural beings, and we need to have recourse to supernatural realities to help us truly become that which God has already made us by baptism, and that which he desires us to be as we seek to live rightly in his sight. Yes, we need to cooperate. Yes, we need to discipline ourselves and train our wills. Those things are true. But we also need to be men and women of fervent prayer. This is what St. Peter says in our epistle today. Not only does he exhort us to a prudence and watchfulness, but that prudence and watchfulness take place in the context of prayer. You have to be men and women of prayer. If you somehow believe that it is simply sufficient for you to come to Holy Mass on Sunday, or to even periodically come throughout the week, and not then carve out time in your daily life to pray to God, you are setting yourself up for failure. God wants you to reach out to him, to always invite him more deeply into your life, and to solidify that relationship that you share with him so that you will always be on solid ground. And then when you find yourself confronted by the world, and maybe that has already happened to you, maybe you have been ridiculed and mocked by family or friends because you have sought to live deliberately and intentionally your Catholic faith, you will also be able then to put into practice what St. Peter admonishes us, that we do this with charity, not only toward ourselves and patience, but a charity toward one another, because charity covers a multitude of sins. We do all this without murmuring, without grumbling, without backbiting. We do all of this precisely because of grace poured out upon grace that comes from the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit, in whose hands we become pliable instruments of God's salvific and redemptive work. This is always how God has intended it, that we be with him first, last, and always, and that whatever it is that we are asked to endure, we will be able to endure it greatly because of the grace that he has bestowed upon us and the Spirit that is given to us. It is the Spirit, brothers and sisters, that holds and binds the church together. And we need to be mindful of this, especially as it appears, and I think more than just simply appears, it is happening in our very lifetime that she seems to be splintering apart. Who is going to lead? Who is going to follow? Who is going to bind and hold all of this together? Our recourse is never to ourselves, which leads to only doubt and despair, anxiety and confusion. Our recourse is to the Holy Spirit, who has continued to guide the church and will continue to guide the church. We are not bereft or orphans or alone. We're not making this up as we go along. We have a playbook that has been given to us. Our task is simply to follow it day in and day out. And if you are the last one doing so, then praise be God and rejoice. It's not about numbers, although it certainly is a way of gauging the fruit. And indeed, we are blessed here at the Oratory as we are about to celebrate our first anniversary here at St. Luke, to rejoice in what it is that God has done for us in growing our community. But that is a testament not to each of us individually. It is a testament to who we are collectively and what it is that binds and holds us together, and that is our faith in Jesus Christ, in Holy Mother Church, in her perennial teachings, and in worshiping as God has intended us to worship. This is the reason why we have been blessed, and it will continue to be the reason why we are blessed. On our part, we rejoice first and have hearts full of gratitude for the blessings bestowed upon us. We then continue to cooperate in our own state in life in the manner in which we find ourselves by being men and women of prayer, practicing fervent charity, and opening ourselves up to the Holy Spirit. Whatever difficulties we confront, like the apostles before us, we rejoice that we've been found worthy to suffer in the name of the Lord. And the blessings that God indeed has and is and will bestow upon us, we give thanks to him for those and realize it has nothing to do with me, but the bountiful generosity of our Heavenly Father's mercy, our Savior's love for each of us, and the gift of their Spirit that continues to vivify and sanctify us. And so let us take these remaining days as we prepare for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the solemnity of Pentecost to prepare ourselves for an overshadowing of the Holy Spirit. As always, we take our Blessed Mother as a model to how we respond to anything in the church, but most especially how we respond to the Holy Spirit. She was open and pliable in the hands of God, a slave to God, so that whatever God asked of her, she was willing to joyfully do. Knowledge was not necessary. The future need not be known. Only one thing was required, and that is to say yes to the Lord. We are able to be like Our Lady, to follow after the example she has left for us, if like her we open ourselves up to the gift of the Spirit. Let us pray then to wait patiently with open hearts for that Spirit that the Lord will send to us, who will teach and admonish us, who will give us the strength to endure any and all scandal, that in the fullness of time, that where our Lord has gone to prepare a place for us, we too may join him in heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.